wandering around the night still in the parking lot when we're all gone. That might be the person. For our next speaker is a guy I've known for a long time. And it's just with a pleasure, you know, to be anywhere in the room, podium, anywhere with you, talking about recovery. Thank God. We have Murphy for our next speaker. Thank you.
Hey, family, I'm Murphy. I'm a recovering addict. Grateful. Grateful recovering addict, man. And this is a real honor for me to share my experience, strength, and hope with coolness and all that. Because I'm one of the addicts, man, that I grew up around a lot of people that was getting a lot of money, and they were dressing well, and they were driving well, and they were robbing banks, and they were selling dope, and they was gambling, and so I immediately gravitated to that. I mean, like 11 years old, 12, 11 years old, and my mother used to whoop my butt. Street lights come on, she called my name, I duck. Take the butt whooping. Because I wanted to be around the corner, up on the corner, where the lights were low, and where the roaches were, and where the rats and the mice, and, you know, I wanted to be around all that kind of stuff. So I turned out to be exactly like them people I just described to you. Exactly. 1985, I was introduced to freebasing. Freebasing. And my life drastically changed. From that point on, my life drastically changed. I turned into a bum in 4 years. I'm talking about all the way total bum, living in abandoned cars. I'm trying to wake up in the morning before my neighbor's children would go to school. I had this one car that I claimed, and my neighbor's children caught me getting out the car one day. And coming from all this coolness and all this stacks of money and all these pretty cars I used to drive, all these nice clothes I had, when them kids caught me coming out that car, you could have bought me with one penny. I felt really, really bad. And leading up to that point, I knew that I had a problem, but I just couldn't address it. I didn't want to address it. You know, it was like, damned if I do or damned if I don't. I wanted to stay in that dilemma, but I didn't like feeling like I felt when it wasn't no more. Long as I had a crumb, a pull, go behind you, I was all right. But when I ran out, that's when the problem started. So I resorted to do things like steal from my mother's pocketbook. Over and over and over and over and over again. If she let me in that house, my primary purpose was to steal from her. And I believe my mother loved me so much that she would set it up so I can take that $20. I was a $20 thief. I didn't need 25, I didn't need 30, I just needed $20. So I resorted to being, my mother resorted to being my Vic. I loved her dearly. She was my Vic. And I stole from that woman every day. So my sister and them got tired of me stealing from my mother. They got tired of me. They tried to keep me from coming around. They took my door keys. You know, they told me don't come back. And, you know, they threatened to call the police and all that kind of stuff. My mother would make bags with sandwiches in it with $20 in the bag. She loved me unconditionally. So as I began to just get deeper and deeper and deeper in this illusion of life I was living. I was living a life that was so twisted and so unbelievable that I was just afraid to try to correct it. I thought it was no hope. I thought it was going to be no fun. And I thought, the strange thing about it was I could actually say I was having fun. Now, that's a hell of a description to call that type of life fun. But I was in it. You know, I was in it, all over it. You know, I was lost. And so I started to see this guy that I used to get high with. He went off somewhere. And when we go off, I'm thinking he locked up. But he came back too quick. So I'm like, damn, where you been, man? You know, and he was like, he had some clean clothes on. So my whole thing was, get $20 from him. He had clean clothes on, and he was like, halfway look, had a haircut, and you know, he was, he was just looking different. And he said, man, I've been to detox and I've been to treatment. And I called him a sucker. I said, oh man, sucker. You know, he gonna hit me with this old trying to get some help stuff. Sucker, give me $20. Give me $20, you know, all slick and, you know, with the little move. Man, give me $20, man. And he looked at me, he said, man, what you going to do with yourself, man? He said, man, you know what, you going to kill your mother. And I looked at him, I said, what you say to me? He said, man, you keep on, man, you going to kill your mother. And that cut like a knife. Cut. But I didn't know then. What he did, he planted the seed. He kind of gave me something to think about. So I'm saying, this sucker telling me I'm going to kill my mother. You know, and I'm still wobbling and moving and trying to get that 20 from him. So I said, man, you right, man. I tell you what, give me $20, I'm going to straighten up. Give me 20. So he gave me some change, you know, just enough to pacify me. Probably was about $3 or $4. And it was just some bills, so I was happy. You know, I reduced myself to $3 or $4. Now, you notice I'm going lower and lower. $20 was, I was trying to send you to the carryout. $20? Man, go get a little something. So, yeah, I had to break the 20, because they can't get all that money. Man, go get a sandwich or something. You know, we can buy a beer and a hit. I reduced myself to a bum. Real live bum. I'm talking about no bathing, water, you're talking about no water. I ain't look for no water. I ain't brush my teeth. You know, I wasn't one of them type to flip my underwear and flip my shirt on the other side. All of it was dirty. I used to call myself Jamaican Marco because I stank like an African. No offense to Africans, but I used to always say, you know, I'm going to call myself Jamaican Marco. You know, I started wearing all these orange and green and all these loud colors, and I had transformed myself. I used to even kind of talk like him a little bit. Yo, man, what you want? What you want, boy? Give me the money, boy. You know, and I used to, and I had, you know, this is the illusion. I was feeding myself these illusions. You know, my life just went up and down, around the corner, in and out. I was lost, man. So now this guy, Wayne, I see him again. Man, he looking good, he gaining weight now. So I'm looking at him like, that boy, what's up? He said, man, I'm telling you, man, you need to get yourself together. I said, I know I'm going to get him this time. I'm going to get that 20 from him this time. So he said, man, you stink. I looked at him. You mean I stink, man? He said, Murphy, you stink. I said, man, I'm too cool for this. So all this is kind of setting the stage. It set some things in my mind. It set my mind to kind of wobbling a little bit. I was getting these wobble waves of clarity saying, man, you really need to check this. Look at yourself. Look what you become. Man, you used to be smooth, man. I used to walk down the street whistling, going uptown, had about $2,000 or $3,000 in my pocket. I'm going uptown clean, whistling, and kids used to say, Murphy, what's up, man? I used to give them $10, you know, give them money. You know, I used to give my son bags of $1 bills because I just had too many of them. I was one of them type of guys. Smooth. Smell me a mile away. You know, I just Georgetown shopping. Just cool. I was cool for no reason. So now all of a sudden I'm this guy that people saying, man, you stink. So I wanted to do something about that. I wanted to take a bath. I really wanted to take a bath, real bad now. So what I did, I went and stole me some underwear. I went and stole me some socks. I went and stole me some deodorant, toothpaste. And I was coming out of the, now I done went to this convenience store, a corner store in my neighborhood where the guy knew me. Knew me as this funky, dirty junkie. But I got to go in there and get a toothbrush. I forgot to get the toothbrush. So I go in the store and I'm plotting and planning. I'm trying to make him turn, wait till he wait on the customer. So I grab the toothbrush and I'm trying to run out of the store and he slapped dust off me. He hit me so hard. I said, Lord have mercy. He slapped me. I'm stumbling. I'm trying to hold myself and get out of the store. He slapped me and tripped me up. Pop! So I hit the floor. He said, boy, you in my store stealing. And he called me all these names. And he said, what else you got in my pocket, in your pocket? And I'm trying to say, I ain't steal this from your store because I got all that other stolen stuff on me. You know? So he humiliated me, told me he's going to call my mother. He said, boy, I'm going to call your mother. So I'm this cool guy that been reduced to this. So little did I know, man, this guy Wayne, I am so grateful for him. This brother set the stage. I kept seeing him them few times. So now after that event in the store, God placed him coming down the street again. I said, man, I need some help. I shocked him. He said, man, I ain't got no $20. I said, nah. I want to do something with myself. I need some help, man. So he said, you got to call this guy, man, and you got to call him right now and see if he'll let you in. He said, you got Subway money? I said, man, you know I ain't got no money. So now I'm thinking, if he give me that money, I'm on. He said, I got a pass for the Subway. He said, now, you stand right here, you call him. If he say come now, he going to tell you to come now. He said, because he going to see if you really want to help yourself. So I'm thinking now, I'm saying, he got me, man. I said, can I call tomorrow? He said, no, you can't call tomorrow. You got to call now. I ain't no tomorrow. He said, then he started walking away. Ho, ho, ho. I said, ho, ho. I said, okay, call him. So we call over Alexandria Detox. I'm a Washingtonian. Burnt all bridges in Washington. You know, I get in treatment, I leave. You know, they say, the door ain't locked. I say, you lying. Door ain't locked. I leave. Pajamas on, tying them in the back. You know, I'm getting out of there. I'm sneaking out of treatment. So I call over there. The guy say, lo and behold, he say, if you can come before 4, you know, he had a little funny voice. He's telling me, you got to get here before 4 o'clock. If you ain't here before 4, I don't know what, you ain't trying to help yourself. It's about 20 minutes to 2. I got to go to Virginia. Don't know how to switch trains and all that stuff. The guy Wayne told me what to do. I went over there. I got 17 years clean. I watched. I cried. I snot. You know, I still suffer from this. Now I kind of got rejuvenated. You know, I went to treatment. I did what I supposed to do, and you know, and I ain't using them. And I'm kind of like getting back. I'm on track, and you know, I'm dressing again. I'm whistling, smelling good. I'm whistling. My fifth year, I said, man, I got to get me some of this money. Them suckers getting money. I know how to get some money. They say 5 years, you're gonna decide what you want to do. So I was listening to him say that. I decided to sell dope. I made the decision to go to meetings, not share no more. I shut down. Told my sponsor he was a punk, shut down, and was hustling. And I mean, I don't hustle small. I don't do nothing small, not in my life. And somebody told on me. They say he's too arrogant, he's getting too much money, and I don't know where he came from. And how dare he talk to us like that? So they told. The police locked me up. And I did 7 years. But through God's grace, I didn't use. Because there were days I wanted to test what I had. They was telling me it was good. And I say, man, they got to be lying. You know, I come from dollar doogies, dollar caps, bams, Delauders. You know, I come from the era where a little bit of dope gets you twisted. And these guys need 2.5 spoons and all this old crazy stuff. I ain't trying to get nobody high, but I just couldn't equate it. I was saying they was lying. So many a day I wanted to sneak in the basement and take a blow. But God intervened. I'm grateful for the guy who told on me. If I see him, I probably shake his hand. You know, I'm grateful for the people in Narcotics Anonymous who still believed in me, wrote me, sent me pictures of picnics and personal events in their family, and $2 or $3 in my account. I'm grateful for those type of people. The same kind of addicts that you say that don't like to share was sending me money. Was telling me, I love you, despite what you did. I couldn't understand it. I couldn't understand that kind of love. I said, them people done gone crazy. I done went against the grain and they still love me? So I made a quest. I said, in this institution that I was in, they didn't have Narcotics Anonymous meetings. I ain't understanding. I went to the warden and I begged and I pleaded and I started meetings in the federal penitentiary system. I said, I don't understand a federal penitentiary with no meetings and half of the people in here drug-related offenses. Come on, warden, that don't make sense to me. So I had to write a proposal and I had to think. We ain't dumb. Not the addicts I know. We ain't dumb. So I made it happen, man. I was a part of that. I was having people sending me IPs and I was copying them and sneaking around and copying stuff. And, you know, I was like a secret agent. I was making it happen. So a lot of times, man, I get caught up because I got this ism. I got this thing. I got this bigum. I call it the bigum. So that turns me into this cool secret agent. You know, I want to have the best. I'm entitled. You know, I have this entitlement issue. I don't use drugs. You know, how dare you tell me I can't have? I'm smart as a son of a gun. And I'm not lazy. So God said, okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, man. You like creating stuff. Create. He said, get up, create. So I started doing things like go to school. I started doing things like thinking about how I can take care of myself. I started doing things like believing in me. I started believing that I didn't have to shoot dice, that I didn't have to sell dope, and I stayed out of your pocketbook. Hey, you look good, sweetie, but you know I can sell ice to an Eskimo. I really do think I can. So I had to simmer down. They, you know, my sponsor said, man, simmer down. You know, you all over the place. Me and my brother started a business. And I my self-esteem was so low, I was scared to bid. You know, in the business that we have to bid on contracts. I was bidding like a punk. I was afraid to get a number, and I was afraid, man. I went to this organization, and this lady was she admired me. She says, "There's something about you. You're spunky, and you speak well, but you know, what kind of bidding are you doing?" So I'm explaining to her. She says, "Shut up." She said, "You're afraid of money. You're afraid of success." And I looked at her, and I'm thinking to myself, "How dare she talk to me like that?" But she was telling the truth. She wasn't lying to me. So she told me some things that I should consider in my proposals, and she told me some ways to try to outbid guys without being greedy about it. And then she said, "Before you bid, pray." She said, "Stop praying." So I run that past my brother. He's a no-nonsense retired government employee. So he really ain't need no money. So he looking at me like, "Man, don't you write them numbers on? Don't you listen to that woman?" And you know, he kind of like was killing my joy. So we had to have a conversation about, you know, who the boss. Who the boss right now? You know, we gotta establish this. You're older than me, but am I the boss? You keep calling me boss, let me be the boss. So we do things now, man, six figures and up. And I don't whistle no more. I just don't whistle no more because that takes me to another place. You know, I have to be humble. You know, people say I drive good. I try to dress moderately, and I try to share with no strings attached. I try to hire people that I know, you know, and the whole gamut. And sometimes it get overwhelming. And I go to meetings on a regular basis. I don't get too grown for meetings. And I try not to handle cash. I like checks or your credit card or, you know, when it comes to cash, I let my brother handle that. Because me and money not friends. Money not my friend. You know, it turns me to this person. You know, I get cool and big. You know, let me get a little $2 or $3 of rent money in my pocket. I'm another person. I might even step low and, you know, "Hey, Slim, you know, I'm hey, big boy, you know, I'm all over the place." It just changed me. So I got to watch myself when it comes to money. It don't even matter the denomination. I can have 21s and I'll make you think it's 1,000. Flipping it in. "What you need, big boy? What you need? Gotcha." You know, it just turns me. So hipness, man, with me and just being this cool dude, just being this person, man, and being this thing, being this, you know, and I shared a lot of meetings. I'm talking about I share my feelings. If something going on, I'm raising my hand. You know, I don't talk a lot, but I share. So a lot of newcomers, they come back to me and tell me about something I shared about, and I'd help them. So I'd be like, "Man." Then the guy told me, he said, "Man, you know, you my predecessor." So that put something on my mind wobbling, you know, like, "Man, he called me a predecessor. Hey, how many years you got, man? You got 16, at the time I had 16 years. I said, "Man, you got 16 years, so there's some people behind you that's watching." First of all, let me tell them, you can't sell dope in this program. It ain't going to work. Your conscience is going to be beating you up. You're going to be in a meeting, and you know, your thing is going to be moving, and you know you're going to have to take care of that because you can't leave them unaddressed too long. They'll take your money and suffer the consequences. So you got, you know, you here and you there, you here and you there. So you know, you can't do that in this program. This program has saved my life. Taught me how to grow up and be a man. It taught me, this program has taught me things as small as taking my clothes and separating them and putting them in the washing machine. I came in putting them all in the same wash and getting them out and holding them up and saying, somebody stole my clothes, these ain't my clothes. Oh, mismatched colors and they're your clothes, Slim. You're supposed to put the whites in with the whites and the colors with the colors and the towels with the towels and you don't wash your towels with your drawers and, you know, all that old kind of stuff. I ain't know that. This program has taught me something monumental is don't sell dope in this program. Help somebody with no strings attached. Just help them just because you're supposed to. Give them a ride, even if you ain't going that way. Because I can circumvent my route. You know, navigation system, changing route. You know how she tell you, you missed your turn. She calculating route. Just calculate your route. See, those are things I'm supposed to do. Man, I got a part-time job at a treatment facility. All the money I make, I got a part-time job. Friday night, Saturday night. Nights that they dancing. I like hand dancing and turning. And I can't go because I'm obligated to be at that treatment facility. And it's like, why do I go? I be saying, I'm going to quit. I don't need this job. I'm going to quit. I get that little check. I be like, not happening. You know, I like the dividends. The reward I get from seeing them guys, I give them hope. They see me leave out that gate, they be looking at me, they be looking at me like I'm the man. And I help them with no strings attached. I do my job, I'm effective. I don't bring them no cigarettes. I don't do nothing I was supposed to do on that job. I was in treatment, I tried to get the man to do everything for me that he wasn't supposed to do. I was in a shelter when I first got clean. I was in a shelter shopping at Eddie Bowes, bringing in brand new Eddie Bowes bags every day in the shelter. And the shelter monitor looked at me and said, man, what is wrong with you? Do you know where you are? I'm like, yeah, I'm in the shelter. Slim, you know, I'm still slimming. And I had a, at that time, I was still kind of wild. Man, I had 4 credit cards and one of them was mine. So, you know, I got this thing, man. I got this, you know, I suffer from this thing. And addiction and using just ain't the, it's just not using for me. I got other stuff going on, addictions, that will lead me to taking a blow. Or breaking your antenna. Or bending the can with ants in it. So this is the best I ever lived in my life, man. I'm living beyond my wildest imagination. I never want to be a bum again with kids catching me getting out of an abandoned car. Thanks for letting me share.
Again, I'm Honey and I'm an Addict. And thank you both, Eddie Murphy, thank you for a good message. You know. And what I got from both of them and I've always felt was that the hardest thing about having an image is maintaining it. It's a lot of work to keep up that fake image. It is a lot of work. So listen, we do have a few moments and we have time to open the mic if somebody wanna come up and share about hip hopping, cool, fatally cool. Anybody? Come on up. Come on up. Come on up, buddy. Come on up. Look, he's dying to get up here. Come on up and tell us about Look. He won the bet. Y'all bet him he wouldn't come up here. He won the bet. Hi, sweetie.
Hi,
yeah, all right. The mic yours.
All right. I'm Mike Nominatic. I like being in the spotlight, so. No, I just wanted to say, like, first of all, to you two guys, man, thanks for, like, speaking. That was incredible. Like, absolutely incredible. Like, you say you was the most nervous one in here, man. Like, still, like, that takes a lot of balls to come up here and do something like that. But no, like, honestly, like, I'm still a newcomer just like anybody else. I got 4.5 months right now. And, I've been in the program for like 7 months, but I had a couple relapses and all that. But like, the only reason I kept coming back was because my life out there was like I think about how stupid it is to hurt people. Like, people think it's fun to get into a fight. People think it's fun to steal. People think it's fun to just do whatever. And like, at the time, yeah, it was fun to do a little bit, like, getting high and everything, but in the end, it wasn't fun at all. I mean, so, like, because in the beginning, you know, you're sitting around, you're listening to music, you're getting high, smoking a J, and in the end, when you're doing them couple of lines, you're also running from the cops, trying to, like, hide in, like, little alleys and shit, and that shit ain't fun. Like, if I look back on myself today, I'm skinny, I'm pale, I'm an asshole, and I would kick the shit out myself. But, like, today, man, like, this program is the best thing that I could ever ask for. I'm shaking right now, though, like a crackhead, because I'm nervous as shit, man. Like, but, no, this is, like, incredible, man. Like, absolutely. And, like, the only reason I have the courage to stick up here today and, like, even, like, say this shit right now is because, like, everybody in here is in here for a good reason and means well, and I know they're true friends, because the only thing my drug buddies did for me was get me high over and over and over again and say, hey, let's go rob somebody. And that's one moment of pain today is not worth a whole life of it, of getting high, because that shit don't mean nothing to me no more. So I could get high tomorrow, my life could fall apart tomorrow, and my brain could split in half, but you know what I'm saying? Like, but I'm focused on just for today, because that's what the program teaches me. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. Thank you, baby. That's what this program's about, you know? That's right. Anyone else? Come on. Someone wants to share? Please. And you know what? I'm going to get out the way and sit down. If you come up, you come up. If you don't, we'll sit for 10 minutes in silence, and then we'll close.
Hello, family. I'm an addict. My name's Betty. And I'm really glad that both of you shared, and I appreciate your stories. I wanted to share because I got a text a little while ago, and it upset me and shook me to my core. One of my sponsees picked up tonight, and I get attached. I really do. And this hurts. I start to feel like a little mother hen or something, taking care of them, give them rides to meeting, and be there when they call. And, you know, I gave her a book I had, and I want the best for her, but I have to remember, she's an addict, you know, and we use. And if we don't do everything that we need to do, then we use, you know, and that could be me, but for the grace of God.